Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode 86 of Jock Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. We hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as we go into a lot of topics today. Something that'll make you laugh, something that'll make you shake your head. 86, dog. Who comes to mind?
Man, Butch Johnson, man.
You know what? You're right. How could I forget that? I ain't gonna lie to you. I struggled with 86, man.
I think Eric Bjornson, too. Butch Johnson.
Yes.
The California Quake.
The California Quake. Who could forget the California Quake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you realize Dalton Schultz wore 86? Because I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize that, but Butch was the man. Butch was the man.
I'm going to say that if Butch Johnson is the best player to wear 86, and I like Butch Johnson, 86 is one of the more irrelevant football numbers for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to say it like that.
I don't know.
Like, you know what, man? It would be interesting one day to rank the most important numbers in the Cowboys' history, you know, like 12 and 8 and 22 and 54 and some others.
Well, I would argue that irrelevant stuff, because when you a kid, you can't wait for Butch Johnson to catch. It's all about your perspective. You can't wait for Butch to catch the ball for him to do something. Pull the pistols out, do the California Quake. You know Landry didn't like that. Yeah, he did it anyway.
I'm just saying. Of that, Butch Johnson, by Cowboy standards, was a. You know what? I don't even know what Butch Johnson's stats were. Do you know what Butch Johnson's stats were?
No, but see, it's the.
I mean, he was the third receiver in the nine passing era.
Right.
But like, did you realize? Like, and this is how we end up on these exit ramps. Like, I had no idea Butch Johnson played 10 seasons in the NFL. I really didn't think about it. How many years you think Butch played in Dallas?
Probably five.
Butch Johnson played 8 years in Dallas.
Okay.
But it don't seem like, because he was clearly a really good player who was the number three receiver behind Drew and Tony, and they didn't run a lot of three receiver sets back in the day. So he only had limited opportunities. But Butch Johnson, check this out, man. See, Butch Johnson only caught 193 passes in his Cowboy career. But he scored 28 touchdowns. That seemed like a big-ass number to me. So
That's why when you talk about, you know, the relevance and the standards is one of them things where what's your standard and my standard, two different things. I love Butch Johnson because, like I said, Butch always caught them big plays. And like you say, he caught a lot of touchdowns. And he did the damn California Quake when them end zone dances really was not a big thing. And Tom Landry did not like that California. You know, you could see Tom Landry groan every time he did the California Quake. See, I'm pretty sure you forgot about the California Quake. A lot of people, they bring back a lot of memories.
Nobody forgot about the California Quake.
I don't know.
Two six shooters at the end.
Yeah, but I'm saying the relevance. That's what I'm saying. When you talk about the relevance, are you quantifying that by his numbers? Saying. His numbers and all, I don't know.
I'm just saying, the Cowboys are a franchise with a ton of great players and well-known players.
Okay.
And number 86 is a guy that outside of Dallas, most people ain't never heard of. Yeah. That's what I mean when I say it's a number that in franchise history is one of those numbers you like, huh, not very many people wore 86 that turned out to be exceptional players. That's really all I'm saying, man.
Well, they're exceptional to me because they're Dallas Cowboys. So that's my pushback on that.
Butch Johnson, 15 of his 29 touchdowns went for 20 yards or more. clearly, I mean, he the epitome of a big play receiver. Mm-hmm. I wonder what Butch Johnson. Do you know Butch Johnson's real name?
No.
I mean, I thought his name was Butch. I mean, we've gone back in Cowboys history. Butch Johnson's real name, Michael McCauley Johnson.
Yeah, I'd be Butch too.
Wow.
Usually guys,
Michael McCauley Johnson.
Usually guys go by a nickname like Skip or Butch. They don't like the name given.
I'm gonna find Butch Johnson. I'm gonna find out what Butch Johnson has done since he stopped playing for the Cowboys. That's one of my goals now. I'm intrigued by Butch Johnson. Let's switch the show up around and let's give Todd Archer a call and see what he can tell us about the doodling owner Jerry Jones, who now says he ain't got no money to go all in.
But you skip something. The light is red. We are 5x5. How about that? 6 minutes in.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't skip it. You supposed to come in and say that.
Well, right, I'm gonna, we gonna work it out. How about this? Operation Jacques Talk is a go. How about that?
I mean, I like that too. You can add that to the mix too. Yeah, that's good. Butch Johnson. Where is Butch Johnson these days?
Man, you guys are early.
Hey, makes up for all the times we late. How you doing, bro?
I was banking on you being late, so I was transcribing some stuff.
Sound like you got a little sleep in your voice, too.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Who was your favorite football team growing up, Arch?
Patriots?
No.
The Giants.
Probably the Giants. My dad, the Patriots are so bad when I was growing up. I mean, we didn't really get to see them play very much because remember the old blackout rules? They weren't on TV because they didn't sell at the home games.
Right.
So I probably was more of a Giants fan because my dad was a Giants fan.
But who's your favorite, most irrelevant player?
Jeez, she's coming out the box. My favorite, well, most irrelevant player.
I don't know if irrelevant, but we just had this extended conversation that maybe only Joe and I enjoyed about Butch Johnson, who played for the Cowboys. And, you know, so we went back and forth on Butch Johnson. It's not that he's irrelevant, but no few people outside the Cowboys truly fan base would know who Butch Johnson is, except that did he catch the pass that wasn't a catch, that should have been a catch, that wasn't a catch in the Super Bowl against the Broncos?
Boy, yeah, now you got me racking my brain.
I can think of, I'll tell you, I loved the Giants in the 80s because the Cowboys sucked in that Giants defense. And my favorite irrelevant kind of Giant would be Brad Van Pelt, number 10.
I just like Brad Van Pelt because he wore number 10.
Yep.
Well, honestly, the guy that came to my mind was a guy whose son we know, Bobby Carpenter. His dad, Rob, was a running back.
Number 26.
Actually, no, I'll go Joe Morris.
Joe Morris,
the other running back.
Number 20.
He was a Massachusetts guy, yeah. And working a lot of Massachusetts guys in the league, so probably Joe Morris.
And
my brain.
And a short guy. I'm partial to short guys, yeah. 5'7", 5'6", about 185 out of Syracuse, yeah. Joe Morris.
I didn't know he was a Mass guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Western Mass. Air Massachusetts. Yeah. I think his dad was in the military, so they lived out at Fort Devens.
Okay.
See, there you go.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Joe was good. Pretty good, too.
Well, let's
Rob Carpenter. Rob Carpenter. Hold up. Rob Carpenter, 26, Miami of Ohio. And he played for the Oilers, too.
I remember back in the day, I couldn't get this dude to say anything. Now he's telling me to hold up.
Well, I'm just saying, I got to
progress and maturity.
I got to get that out, man. I got to get that out, dog. Come on now. All right.
What do we make of our owner after the first couple days of the owner's meetings? And now it appears that he doesn't have the money to go all in. Am I misreading that, Arch?
Yeah, I guess, right? I mean, it's honestly, like, I talked to another couple of people that have been covering the team for a little bit, and, like, usually we can decipher Jerry pretty good and kind of figure out what he's saying. you know, from reading what I'm not at the owners' meetings, but reading what those guys wrote, especially Clarence's story the other day, I'm like, what in the hell is Jerry talking about? Like, it's sometimes it's just Jerry gobbledygook, and he's trying to answer a question without answering the question. So usually, like, when you're there and you hear it in person, it makes sense. But then you listen to it on tape, you're like, what in the world is he saying? And then when you're reading it on a newspaper or on your screen or whatever, you're like, I don't get any of that. And here's the one thing, and I'll switch it here, but that I don't like is, like, the Tyron deal would have wrecked their cap. No, it wouldn't have. They could have afforded Tyron Smith.
Right.
They absolutely could have. There's things that they could have done. They chose not to do the deal. It's not that they couldn't afford it. They chose not to do the deal. And we'll find out if they're right or wrong, whatever. But the issue isn't 2024. They could have restructured Trayvon Diggs and Terrence Steele and gotten the cap space and got that deal. The issue is the incentives that would be not likely to be earned would hit against their cap in 2025. So the more, like, they talk about all this stuff, the more I'm even more convinced that it's not about 2024 cap. It's about their 2025 cap and just how they believe, whether true or not, I'm saying that they believe that they're hurting in a big way in 2025 because of dead money that'll be coming forward on a lot of contracts like Dax. Even if they do extend Dak out, there's still going to be a charge of the proration or the restructure that they've done. So, I mean, but at least Jerry didn't say we'll be a better team than we were last year. At least he kind of said, you know, I don't think we're worse, which at least he acknowledged he couldn't come out and say that they're better after losing the guys they've lost and not adding anybody yet. But I think they'll add a couple guys. They'll add a running back. They'll add a defensive tackle. They'll draft guys, obviously. Maybe they add a receiver. I don't know. But they'll add guys that by the end of it will say, okay, they'll be good, but those guys better all hit. And they've not had a track record of, like, hitting on all of the guys that they've got.
So
that was a roundabout. That was a Jerry Jones answer for me. I was all over the place.
So I guess I'm saying is I think that was. I'm trying to figure out which part I was going to grasp onto. So Jerry Jones, I'm saying, I don't know, man. I get frustrated as I look at the team and study the team. So you so concerned about 25, are you just like, you know, screw 24? Because that reminds me of, early aughts with Dave Campo and all the salary cap issues where they just go, you know what? We're just going to take one for the team for a year or two, get this thing straightened out, and then regroup and go from there. But that doesn't
seem the same thing as 2011 when they – or whatever year it was when they cut Leonard Davis, Mark Colombo, and Andre Girard all at the same time.
Right.
Like, that's not a good strategy to cut three starting offensive linemen. Now, you drafted Tyron Smith. You had Doug Free. You had Kyle Kosher. But, you know, that didn't play out well for them. And it's almost like and you mentioned the Campo year, so that's 2002. Then you get, let's call it 2010, 2011. Now we're in 20, they just finished. So it's like every decade or so, like, they hit their wall and they got to have a reset against the cap. And the only thing that's different about the Campo reset came after three Super Bowls. The last two resets, if we're calling this a reset, they've obviously not even sniffed the Super Bowl.
Does it feel like a reset, or am I overreacting?
I mean, look.
Like, they're not going to be 5-11 reset or 5-12.
If you had to rank the teams in the division right now based on what everybody's done, they're still second, aren't they? We'll give the Eagles first place. Because no one repeats as division champs in this thing. It's been 20 years since that happened, right? So they're better than the Giants. And I'm saying they're still better than Washington. Right. So But I guess that has you, quote, hanging around the rim. But don't you get tired of just hanging around the rim? Like,
well, you know, the goal is to win a Super Bowl, or at least compete for a Super Bowl, given that you haven't done it in so long. And given that you have a team that it seems like if you added pieces would be able to contend. It's not like you got an average team and you're like, well, since we're average, yeah, what the hey. No, you got a team that still has ability, what feels like ability to contend for a championship, and they're like, we'll just take a year. But you can't really do that to me in the NFL because the years are so precious because your superstars or your best players really only, most of them only have like a 4 or 5 year finite period where they can, they're really good enough to get it done and carry a franchise.
Right. It's almost like they're taking the, remember what Parcells said, hey, you get in the tournament, you got a chance. Well, okay, yeah. You know what? And speaking of March Madness, everybody's got a chance, right? You're in the tournament. Right. But did St. Peter's really have a chance of winning the tournament? No. They are in it, though. So they got a chance. Like, I mean, so, yeah, okay, you can be the third wild card team. But do you really have a chance? Like, and I'm trying to remember, like, obviously Kansas City was the 2 seed. San Francisco was the 1. Kansas City, you know, Kansas City's been – when's the last time a wild card team – I guess Cincinnati maybe in 2021 when they went to the Super Bowl, were they the wild card out of the AFC when they played the Rams? No, they won their division, so that doesn't even count. Like, I mean, you get the point that I'm trying to make here. You got to be like 1 or 2 normally, and I'm sure there's other teams in it that have made a run that haven't been 1 or 2, but you know, you're not going to be 7 or 8 and have a real chance of making the Super Bowl. And I realize the Giants probably did it as a 7 seed once, if not twice.
And of course they had to beat the Cowboys to go do that. So,
right.
That's how that goes. Yeah. You know, what do you make of, other rule changes, that people are talking about, whether it's the hip, what do we call that? The hip drop.
Hip drop.
And then the kickoff thing is kind of interesting.
So let's start with the hip drop. To me, I feel bad for the officials even more because how are they going to rule this thing? This isn't the horse collar tackle, which was plainly obvious, like when you grab the guy and you pull him down, right? This one, there's a little more nuance to it. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of flags. I think you're going to see a lot of fines, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be more ruled that way as opposed to the referee because – that stuff happens so quickly. How can you tell? Now, there are some obvious ones, right? Like the one on Mark Andrews in Baltimore last year. Yeah. That was pretty obvious. Like the guy did it that way. The Pollard one was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But there are some other ones. I'm like, well, geez, did he leave his feet? Did he? I couldn't tell. But like, well, 1 foot looked like it might have been on the ground. So I think the hip drop's going to be more about guys losing money than guys getting flagged 15 yards. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's the way it's going to go. And on the kickoff thing, I'm just glad it's going to be a play again. Like at some point, I mean, it just got boring. And now, now I might need to change my tone of, hey, special teams, just be a net zero. Like just don't screw anything up because you can mitigate so much by Brandon Aubrey having 100 touchbacks. We didn't have to cover any kicks last year, so it didn't matter if this was a special teams guy only. They didn't need many of those guys.
Right.
Because they just blast it, and your punter can you know, keep it out of the middle field and pin guys by the sideline. You didn't need as many special teams guys. So this brings special teams back into it, and it's more like a running play. So I'm sure the Cowboys look at this and say, hey, we got Kevontae Turpin. He might be a guy that can be pretty special at this thing and see what he can do. But now special teams, you might have to be more than a net zero, when it comes to this stuff. I do like the fact that they changed one thing about it where if you have a touchback that it goes to the 30 and not the 35. Maybe that 5 yards doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, if you're looking at a, how many yards would you have to gain to get into field goal, realistic field goal range for these guys these days? You have to get, what are you, 30, 20, 35 yards, right?
Yeah.
So that's okay, three first downs-ish, three and a half first downs, right?
Right.
So at least you kind of have to drive the ball. It's a little bit different. I'm glad they changed it to that.
All right, that's interesting because I hadn't really thought about it from that approach. Which is kind of cool, especially when you got these kickers now. But I was thinking about that because I think scoring went down a little bit, and so they're always looking for ways to increase scoring whenever it dips a little bit because they connect that with fans and offensive football and more excitement. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
What's the exact change again?
On what now?
On
what we just talked about?
Yeah.
The touchback will go to the 30 and not the 35.
Okay.
On the new rules.
Okay.
So it's a way where you just don't want your guy blasting it through the end zone because obviously it's not at the, where would it go, the 25?
Yeah,
the
25.
25.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some penalty for touchbacks that you're making your guy hang it up at least. Have the guy, put it at the goal line to make somebody make a decision.
Yeah, make him – he has to become a little better kicker. He's got to use more touch, I guess.
Roger that.
More touch than anything. You miss the owners' meetings or you'd rather be at home relaxing?
I don't know. I guess I miss the owners' meetings. Just because you always want to be there and ask your questions.
Tell me that.
I'm sure those guys are going to ask too, but maybe you would ask it differently and get a different answer or something like that. But no, I think we can only be at one thing. I picked the combine. Maybe next year I pick the owners' meetings instead.
Why'd you pick the combine?
Well, because usually it's you get Steven in the beginning of the week, the coach in the middle of the week, and Jerry at the end of the week. This year, McCarthy didn't show up, so that was a little bit different. And then I'm too old to be at the combine. I'm not Clarence. I can't stay out till 4 a.m.
Yes. Before we let you go,
NCAA before we let you go, what the heck? We're only, we're quick today.
We're only 22 minutes in, dog.
I didn't want you.
I'm on 16.
Right. Oh, that's right.
I didn't want you to stop on your transcribing since we called you early. I'm trying to be a man of the people. It's not often that I'm considerate of others. That's all.
But there's some truth in that.
Doc Taylor.
There's some truth in that. There's some truth in that statement.
But I had a couple follow-up questions that might take us a little longer. The first one was, what are your thoughts on the tournament? Because you're a resident college basketball fan.
It's how it plays out, right? You get the upsets early. Maybe you get one in the second round or something like that. But there's only one double-digit seed here. It's made it to the 16. That's NC State, who's on a heater at the moment. Obviously, they weren't going to make the tournament if they didn't win the ACC. So, I love it. The quality of basketball is not great, but like the Houston A&M game, you can't say it wasn't exciting. Now, again, kind of got tired of the officials bailing A&M out for just irresponsible offense and just throwing stuff up and getting it off the backboard and throwing it up again. I mean, God, it was kind of ugly at times, but that's okay. Still the excitement was there. And basically my bracket, I got all my final four teams left. So theoretically I'm still alive in my pool, even though I'm not doing too hot at the moment.
What do we make of?
But I'll be in Boston for the regional. So I'll see who we got. UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, and Iowa State. So I'll be up there for that.
All right, that's good. What do we – I like that. I like the fact that you're getting out to see some of it. What do we make of Kentucky not getting, out of the first weekend like 5 years in a row? And I didn't realize I hadn't been to a Final Four in almost a decade.
might be the last time they were, that it was here in Texas. It was the last time they were in the Final Four. Yeah. Was that when it was here? It might have been.
Yeah. I think I was at those games.
Yeah. Look, I'm not Clarence and just going to sit here and bash Calipari and call him a fraud and blah, 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 blah. I thought Cal was on the forefront of the one and dones. And like now Cal has been stuck. He's one of the last ones to realize you need the older guys a little bit. You can't always be getting the one and dones and still getting the job done. So I'm curious to see what these guys do in the transfer portal if they add some guys. But it's funny to me that Cal was once, obviously when he was at UMass, he was ahead of the curve. Maybe he was too far ahead of the curve on some things, but making that program into something. At Memphis, he was certainly ahead of the curve in what they were able to do there. And again, they've had to vacate their Final Four for garbage NCAA reasons, but whatever. But getting guys and having guys, a mix of guys, the one and dones or two and dones, with some guys who had been around for a while. And then Kentucky, obviously, he was at the front of it. Now that he's kind of caught behind it, curious to see how he kind of reacts to all this stuff to make sure that Kentucky doesn't become the Cowboys where 15 years later, if it's been 10 years, that it's not 30 years since their national championship, the way it's been 30 years for a Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And, Jock, that's how you bring it back to the Dallas football Cowboys, my man.
See, that was impressive right there. That was some impressive stuff. Now, my last question for you is, I've been just taking the random surveys because I have a natural curiosity. What is it, and I have a little bit of an idea, but I don't know. What is it that you spend your money on for Arch, for your own personal self-care, for your own personal hobby, and you just go, wow, I can't believe I spent that, but, you know, it's for me. I like doing this. This is my thing.
None of your friggin' business. How about that?
Well, yeah, that's a good answer right there. That's a good answer.
Well, normally I would say something.
Yeah, he gone.
I would say something. I'd be like, well, I'm not even going to say it. Otherwise, I would have said it. But, what do you
say? I would say golf. If it's golf, like at the end of the year, if I had to look at how much money I spent on golf, I'd be like, whew, jeez. I don't know about that one, but
right.
I would say golf. Good.
That's what I figured you would say that. Because I was having some random thoughts with myself the other day. This happens often. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, you spend so much your money on bills, and if you got kids, you spend your money on kids. And so I've just been asking people what they spend their money on for themselves, for their own self-care, for their own enjoyment. You know, like Clarence spends his money on Crown, you know, because that's what he enjoys sipping on from here and there. Because I don't know that Clarence has a hobby. I don't know.
Here and there is every hour of the day.
I said that because his hobby is going out and watching sports. He doesn't really have any other hobbies, like things that he does. His hobby.
Oh, I thought Twitter was his hobby because he just spends all his waking hours on Twitter just arguing with people about stuff that he knows nothing about either.
Damn, y'all hitting my boy Till pretty hard.
I am not hitting him hard at all.
You want me to call him right now?
No, we
don't. All right, then. We don't got time for that. We don't have time for that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Arch. We appreciate it. And we will.
That's it? We're done?
Yeah, dog. It's the off season. Okay. We got, you know, unless the Red Sox were in town this weekend, you go take a look at them. They got another game today.
No, because I'm going to be up in Boston for the basketball. And, you know, I've not been to the new Rangers ballpark for a Rangers game yet.
You should go. It's a good experience.
I've seen a high school game there, and I've seen college games there. I've not seen a Rangers game there.
You want to go take in a game before the season starts? Me and you, like old time's sake, hang out?
Well, we did?
God. No, I said, when do we want do that? To? You know, this is
Joe's awkward. Not seeing me in my normal state right here. Joe's getting disgusted with me.
I should have just texted you if I knew you were going to make me feel like this.
Yeah. No, I had an NCAA question, though, before you get out of here.
All right.
Every time the NCAA, you know, the tournament comes, there's always a player that nobody's heard of that comes out. And I enjoy that. And he usually ends up getting drafted or something like that. Like, I didn't know who Ja Morant was until the NCAAs. I like DJ Burns for North Carolina State. Who do you have as a player? Yeah, that you
I don't know if he can play in the league though, right?
Yeah, but it's watching him ball. That's Debo's brother.
That's a good call. Both, yeah, that's a Debo is better than him though.
Yeah.
So who's the guy that I like to watch? Is that
yeah, like a player that you
caught my attention during this run?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one because, I mean, I want to say the Newton kid at UConn, but I mean he's been around, so that doesn't really count, right? Gosh, you got me. You can't pick the guy from the best team to.
Well, the kid.
I like the Lede kid from San Diego State. Yeah, I like him. He's a guy he played really well last year too on the run to the national title.
Yeah.
The
kid from Oakland. What about the kid from Oakland?
Yeah, he's got no chance playing in the league though.
He don't have no chance, but you know, you didn't see him. You know, where did he come from? Well, he's a Division II player.
Right. So yeah. I saw that Oakland beat Xavier at the start of the season, and Jock knows I'm a Xavier fan, and I was like, how can Xavier lose at home of all places to Oakland? That's embarrassing. Like, that can't happen. You know, that just can't be. I'm trying to think who I got in the title game. I have UConn against. God, what's the bracket? Why can't I think of who the hell UConn's going to play? U of A, Shed's a guy. Like, I love watching that kid play. I've watched him, love watching him play the last couple, 3 years. He's been really good.
You like
the Cola kid at
Houston.
Houston point guard.
Yeah.
I love watching Houston play because they just, yeah. His follow dunk too, dude. 6'1", 6'2", and he just went up. Oh man, that was a good one too. The Cola kid at Marquette.
Yeah.
I gotta. I'll be honest. I didn't see much of Iowa State during the season, but the big white kid from Wisconsin.
that narrow.
I can't even pronounce his name. Mama Sevelich.
Yeah,
or
it's
something
a long
like
ass,
that.
Long ass name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's pretty cool to watch play. So there's. Is it DeSilva at Colorado is another guy that caught my mind. But shoot, don't take my word for it. I had Utah State beating Purdue, and I had James Madison beating Duke. So and they both got waxed. So what do I know?
Yeah, I like that. That's what I like about the tournament. It's always somebody that you didn't see. You go, damn, okay. I wonder if he can play in the league. You know, he's pretty good, and he's carrying that team. That's what I thought about DJ Burns when I saw him in the post. Yeah, he ain't as good as his brother, but he's still pretty good. He's still working with what he got. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the guys that you think that will translate to the league and don't, and then there are guys that you watch and you're like, phew. I could be honest with you. Like, when Memphis played in the Final Four in San Antonio – UCLA was down there, and that was when they had, oh my gosh, what's his name? Westbrook, Kevin Love. They had all those guys. Yeah. Westbrook, I think in the semifinal game, he was like 2 for 38 from the field, something stupid like that. I'm like,
he wasn't Westbrook at UCLA. When Oklahoma drafted him, I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Now, he's obviously turned into a great player and all that stuff. Yep. So, but that was a guy, like, when I saw that he got drafted as high as he did, all I had was in my mind was that game. And, I mean, turned into a great player. So,
Well,
what do you got, Jock? Come on.
Oh, I think Zach Eddy.
You know, some Jim keep Jackson.
Keep your eye out on Zach Eddy.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see if he can transition to the NBA.
What is that? Is that an Uber driver or something? Who is that?
Come on, man. That's a two-time defending player of the year. Come on.
All right.
And the fact that he's two-time defending player of the year lets you know he got no NBA future.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be in
the league. He'll be in the league. He'll be a first-round pick. I bet you he'll be late lottery.
All right. Maybe he'll end up in Dallas. Be the new Boban.
I saw someone today say he could be who's the big dude who plays for the Clippers? Foreign guy, obviously. Vucic, Ivan. So I need my NBA knowledge that I have known that. But I think he could be that kind of guy. So
well, he's tall.
Get you 15, 18 minutes a game, maybe.
Oh, shit, he played that much. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. If he can play that
all right,
much.
Maybe 12 to 15.
Yeah, that's more like it. All right, man, get back to transcribing. We got to go.
Appreciate
that's my
it.
Man, yep. Todd Archer. Brought to you each and every Wednesday by who? My good friends at Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820 West Mockingbird, home of the Jam Session Bowl, which is what? Love in your mouth. I know, it is. Ain't nothing changed in the last few days. The Jam Session Bowl is it's a delicious blend with a mac and cheese base or a mashed potato base. That's what it starts with, man. And then, your choice, 2 out of 5 smoked meats. Woo-hoo! Your boy usually goes for the brisket and the sausage. And then, after that, let me tell y'all something. After that, they put all that stuff you find on a loaded baked potato. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about chives, bacon bits, sour cream, cheese, butter, all that good stuff. Then they either drench it with sauce, drizzle it sauce. It's fantastic. It is, as I like to say, to live for. It's enough for two. Got a little shorty, 3 y'all. Can easily take it down. Now, if for some reason, you don't want to Jam Session Bowl, let me tell y'all what to do. This Sunday is March. I mean, it's Easter. You still got a day to go call Smokey John's Barbecue and get the March Special Easter Pack. That's 2 whole chickens, 2 pounds of sliced honey smoked ham, 2 half-gallon sides, 1 gallon of Smokey John's sweet tea or lemonade, 12 rolls, and 1 pint of barbecue sauce. It feeds up to 8, only $139.95. They call it the Special Easter Pack. All you're going to need to do is hit them on the website, SmokeyJohns.com, and order it, or you can give them a call and make it happen. But Smokey John's Barbecue, it is food to live for. Now, understand, if you need it more frequently than that, or more immediately than that, you can go to SmokeyJohns.com, click on the marketplace, and get the sauce or the rub. Send it right to your crib in a couple days. You do your own cooking, like my man Lamar did on those ribs the other day. Or, if you need it like now, you can hop in the car, go to HEB, Burleson, Waxahachie, Frisco, McKinney, pick it up off the shelf and take it home. It's that easy. However you want Smokey John's, you can get Smokey John's. Smokey John's Barbecue, they bring us Todd Archer each and every Wednesday and Clarence D. Hill Jr. each and every Friday. Baseball time in Texas, man. Are you hyped about the baseball season?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like to see what they're going to do, man. I mean, baseball is back. It left for 4, 5, 6 years, and now it's back. Yeah, I'm hyped about it.
All right, well, that's good because Texas Rangers got a heck of a team. I think they got, depending on what you read, they got a lineup that's anywhere in the top 5 is their lineup. You know, a lot of people have between 3 and 5. Obviously, the Dodgers have a great lineup. The Braves have a great lineup. But the Rangers in that conversation, I think that I've told y'all, I love their mix of youth and veterans in the lineup. But, you know, baseball season, dog, it's the same every year. Ain't nothing changed. Can your pitching hold up? They go into, you know, last year they had questions about the bullpen early on in the season, and they really never got it straightened out. It's a miracle that they took the AL West lead all the way to the last day of the regular season with a bullpen that blew half the saves opportunities that it had. Leclerc found himself in the playoffs, and he enters the season as a closer. They got a couple of other options in case he struggles or in case there's some injuries. And so they spent the offseason trying to really solidify the bullpen. Nathan Eovaldi, one of your World Series heroes, He's going to be your opening day pitcher against the Cubs on Thursday, I believe. And so, you know, man, baseball season's here. And we talked about it, man. The Rangers are going to have to deal for the first time in a long time, and for the first time for this particular team, with something the Cowboys deal with every year, which is expectations. And, dude, that thing can – that expectations can be hard, man. Or if you learn to ride with them, you know, you can play and play freely. And to me, that's the whole key. And I think the best thing the Rangers have is them two cats at the top of the lineup, Marcus Semien and Seager. And those guys, you know, when I was covering the World Series in the playoffs last year for Anscape, I was like, those cats are flatliners, man. Like, you know, everybody was all caught off guard when Seager had that huge yell after he homered in game one of the playoffs of the World Series, because they're like, wow, we just never hear him say anything. And so I think the reason that they'll be able to handle the expectations is you got Semien and Seager leading the way for the Rangers. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I had to clarify something. Baseball is back for my casual ass. I'm a casual fan. All right? So the guys that are real baseball fans, I'm hitting them up. You know, every time you talk about baseball, my baseball IQ goes up, because I stepped away from it because they wasn't very good. So that's what I think. I'm excited about all of that. And I'm excited every time I get a chance to learn something, you know, again, I'm excited about that. So I don't know. I'm going to enjoy this season better than I did last season, because I was unaware last season. You know, I was, you know, it was like, Rangers this, that, okay, whatever. It's going to be good for me, because, like I said, every time you talk on baseball, every time I talk to some of my friends who are hardcore, or what do you say, ride or die baseball fans.
Right.
It gets me excited. I learned something. And you talk about expectations. Okay, as a casual fan and a real sports fan, I know what... when you get them high expectations for the team, it's like, yeah, are they going to repeat? Are they going to come close? Because what I'm seeing, what I'm kind of hearing from you is, we got a good team. They got a pretty good team, but things have to happen for the pitching staff to be as good as they was last year. Is it more of things was lightning struck and it was just a good thing for them? Or can they really carry the team like that? Can they really get back to, are they really that good to get back to where they were?
Oh, yeah. They just need, you know, the main thing you need, you just need health. Can your guys take the mound every fifth day?
Right.
Because, you know, they got Scherzer coming back in probably July. You know, maybe they did. I mean, I think they're expecting to get DeGrom in middle of August or September. And so, you know, you look at you like, oh, are those reinforcements coming down? Well, mm-hmm. They're not going to carry the load. Mm-hmm. But if you get started off well, and you know, the thing about it is, the Rangers, to me, especially if you look at how they played last year, they play a lot like the Cowboys. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Now, here's what I mean. When they're going right and Semien and Seager are doing their thing, well, they're jumping off to a lead early on. I mean, maybe not the first inning, but by the time the fourth inning rolls around, they're up 3-0, 4-1, 5-2. And what does that do? That allows their pitchers to pitch with no stress, with no pressure. They can just sit back and throw, because the offense is giving them a little lead to work with. Much like the Cowboys, you know, prefer to jump up, let their pass rush do their thing, and you know, let their offense set the tone. The Rangers do the same thing. And with that lineup, which is long and is deep, it's going to be hard for most pitchers to survive the first three or four innings without giving up at least a couple runs. And so, you know, the Rangers will rely on their offense to put pressure on opposing pitchers, and that in turn relaxes their pitching staff, because, you know, they don't really have what I would label an ace on this staff right now, with Scherzer and DeGrom being out. And Scherzer, at this point in his career, is no longer an ace in terms of performance. He's an ace in terms of mindset and approach. But when it comes to pure performance, he's not an ace anymore. DeGrom was supposed to be that guy. And Eovaldi, anybody will tell you, does not have the stuff of an ace, but he got the mindset of an ace. And so, you know, until those guys get back, I think the Rangers will use their lineup, especially with Wyatt Langford, you know, making the team. Their first-round pick last year, who's just been a phenom. You put him and Evan Carter, you got a couple of 21, 22-year-olds having big roles in your offense and big roles in your lineup. So, to me, they're going to score a lot of runs, man. Remember, they started off on fire last year, scoring all those double-digit runs. It wouldn't shock me if they did the same thing this year. They're going to blow a lot of people out just because their bats are, whew, something to behold. But that's the Texas Rangers. The season starts this week. And I'm telling you, man, it's different when you're the champ. Everybody gunning for you. Everybody taking you seriously.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to show up ready to play because you are the standard that which everybody is going to judge you by. And so they got the Cubs, three-game set with the Cubs on Thursday. Then they go to Tampa Bay. Don't forget, they won the AL East last year. I mean, I think they finished they won. I can't remember. I think they finished second to Baltimore. But they won 100 games last year, Tampa Bay Rays. And then first week of the season, basically, duh, four games at home against the Houston Astros. Then they go to Oakland. Then they got three games at Houston. So they got seven games with Houston before the middle of April. How about that?
That ought to be good right there. That ought to be good. Well, hell,
you know,
yeah.
What happened is that's just going to set the initial tone, you know, for what everybody thinks is going to happen. You know, that four-game set in Texas is going to be unreal.
You got a real rivalry right there, though. You got a real interstate rivalry right there because the Oilers, Cowboys, and that's more like Maverick San Antonio. You know, that's more like that type of rivalry. Probably even better than that. Probably even more nastier than that, you know. Because we never, you know, that's what I like. I like that. I like that.
No, it should be fun. It should be good. And I am looking forward to it, no doubt. Let's now take a quick trip around the block, man. Oh, before I forget, Tampa Bay won 99 games last year and finished second to Baltimore.
Gotcha.
So I done changed the block topic about three times this morning. You know, because there's things going on. I talked to him briefly this morning. And he's going through a little something. And what he's going through is one of his childhood friends died late yesterday. And I felt bad for him, sad for him. Because as he put in his note on Facebook, and I think about this. This is my dad talking. He's like, I don't remember a time when I didn't know Clyde Kincaid. And I was just like, wow, that's deep. But this has happened when you reach my dad's age or your parents, you know, start to hit their late 70s, 80s. You know, their friends start to pass. And so it's just it's a tough time for him. And I was just talking a little bit about it. And it just, you know, the thing about my dad's friend Clyde is him, my dad, Clyde, and my dad's stepbrother Jimmy had an iconic photo, dog. They took it. Now, my dad was quite the rebel kid, not the professor we see today. But hold up a second. I was having a panic move because my computer looked like it was about to go off. But my dad and his brother, his stepbrother, and his friend Clyde took his iconic picture. It's probably like 1961. they all drove their cars onto the field at this park, and they parked them diagonally so it looked like one was right in front of each other, and then they all posed on the hood in suits. And it looked like something off an album cover. And, you know, I need to ask him about that. Maybe they were trying to imitate some album cover because they looked like the Temptations on there. But anyway, I knew Clyde as a kid. And so it just reminded me about the cycle of life and how as you get older, because I was talking to this about a friend of mine the other day. You know, I'm at the age now where a lot of my good friends, their parents are in their late 70s or 80s. And so now they're starting to die. And I'm at the point where some of my friends, you know, when you hit your 50s, disease can set in and people just start to die. And you just have to come to grips with the cycle of life, which, as I like to say, is a 12-letter cuss word. Because, you know, we're also at that time of life where a lot of people have kids who are having kids. And so you deal with the fact that you're all happy and blessed because you're becoming a grandparent. But then you're all sad because your friends are dying and your parents are dying. It's just a wild time, man. And nothing really prepares you for it. It's just, like I said, part of life and the cycle of life. And it's just a trip. And I always wondered, like, as you sit around and you be thinking sometimes by yourself, like I don't think anybody wants to die. But you're like, how long do you want to live? Like, do you want to live to be 110? And you'd be like, everybody I know is dead. You know what I mean, dog?
Nah, I got nothing.
Hey, it just be like that sometimes, man.
Yeah, I don't.
It just be like that sometimes. It's the cycle of life, man. It's you can't avoid it. It's just here, and it's something that everybody got to deal with in some way, shape, or form. And so my old man was dying a little bit today because his childhood partner has transitioned to the other side.
Yeah, I understand that. I got friends like that that I've my friend Dwayne. We've been friends since I don't know. I don't know. Well, I told you the other day I thought I met Keith Cunningham at 10. I talked to his brother the other day. Cause his mom had passed, and he was like, "Nah, we knew each other since we was about 6 or 7." And I was like, "Really?" He go, and then, you know, you go down the thing and you start talking and remember this and remember that. So yeah, you got. I understand the childhood friends, and I never thought about it as that. I can't remember not knowing them. That's a good way to put it. And I can't remember not knowing them guys, the guys that I grew up, the group of guys that we played football and. We played baseball and we played whatever sport, and we went to high school. You know, they split us up for elementary, but we went to junior high and high school together. Right. And yeah, it's crazy because I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I just think that's a unique thing because I was sitting there listening to the whole thing you said, and I just kept thinking, how many people do I know that I don't remember not knowing?
It's Man. Not a long list.
Yeah, for me, it is because a group of us grew up together.
Right.
It's amazing. And I look back on my childhood and I'm thinking, well, that was pretty amazing because it was about 10 of us that grew up in the same apartments and played football together. And that's why we were successful at what we did because we knew each other, you know. And, yeah, I can't remember not knowing them guys. Can you remember 4 years old who your friends were? Not me. But I can remember 6 or 7, maybe.
You know, mine is weird to me because, you know, my, like, you know, because I lived in Buffalo up until I was 7. So I don't, you know, the friends I had when I was a kid in Buffalo, I haven't seen or spoken or talked to any of those cats since I was 6 or 7. Although I remember having a little white friend named Chris who lived 2 doors down. And I often wonder, what happened to Chris? But I don't even know Chris's last name.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no way I could find him because anybody who would know him has moved on to the other side. So, you know, but anyway, it's... and then when I got to Dallas, you know, one of my friends I had as a kid, he died a few months ago. Just dropped dead one day. You know, but and another one I haven't talked to in about, probably about 20 years. Because sometimes, you know, man, you just, time and distance, you just grow apart because you're doing different things in your lives and your lives no longer converge. And if you don't have some reason to get back together frequently, you can end up out of touch. And then, you know, you'd be like, you know what? I haven't talked to so-and-so in a year or two. I haven't talked to them in 4 or 5. And like, you know what? I need to figure out where they are and, you know, reach back out to them. But how many times do we say we need to do something and you don't get around to doing it, man? Because life intervenes. So, you know, most of my friends have come through the, that I keep in touch with and who are my best friends now, aside from you, have come through the journalism ranks. And so I talk to them all the time. You know, once a week or so. So they, I'm in close contact with them. But you know, life is interesting.
Yeah, I had to work my ass off to keep you around. But yeah, I'm still here. We're still friends, though. I had to put that work in, though.
I'm glad you did. I hope you didn't have to work too hard. Yeah, I did have to work hard, man. I did.
Yeah.
You know, but your name came up the other day because another friend of mine, we were working out, and he said somebody had asked him why we started working out together. And he said, oh, it's easy, because I knew Jacques was going to show up every day, and so I didn't have to worry about that. And I said, ah, that's true. And I started working out with the guy who brought us together because I knew he would show up every day. And I said, oh, dog, you don't always like me because I could be an asshole, but I'm going to show up. And then I said, you know, my boy beat me in Madden 51-3 the first time we ever played. And I walked out the door and he said, I thought I'd never see you again. And I showed up probably the next week and got my ass kicked for probably the next 9 or 10 months before I finally won a game and ran out the door after celebrating very loudly. And that prompted a new rule that you had to declare this is the final game.
It's
of the day.
Last game of the day. Game
you
of the day, right?
Just couldn't
win
and walk off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I never won and walked off. We had to do that because your raggedy ass. So.
Well, hey, when you ain't won in 9 to 10 months and you absorbed all the ass kickings I did, yeah, and all that, you deserve to walk it off. Now that leads me to another discussion. We broached this a little bit with Archie, but I made a move yesterday, and you know what, man? I'm really proud of myself.
Yep.
Because
yes, we know.
Well, I ain't, you know, you should, if you don't clap for yourself, who gonna clap for you? But I've become a lot more assertive in the last probably the last 6-8 weeks. Meaning there's a lot of times where I just be like, you know what, I don't even want to deal with this, so I don't deal with certain things. Or I see something, and I was like, it's not going to make a big deal, so why should I even say anything? Well, I've changed. In part, one of my boys has kind of had an influence on me because I see how he's changed. I'm like, you know what, I should do this more often and see how it works. So I was at the gym. I got 2 gyms. I go to Cowboys Fit. Downtown Dallas. Don't show up and say nothing to me if you don't already go there. And then I go to 24-Hour Fitness in Kessler Park. I remember when 24-Hour Fitness in Kessler Park opened up about 4 years ago. So I was working out the other day, man, probably a week or so ago, and I dropped my jacket on the floor to start working out, and a big old dust bunny popped up. It was kind of nasty looking. And so I looked at it, I was like, what the hell? This is gross. And then I started looking at the gym, and I was like, this place is filthy. Like, not regular dirt from a gym because you got a lot of traffic. But, like, they ain't been cleaning this up the way it should be cleaned up. And I thought about it, man, for 2 more sets. And I finally went and talked to the manager. I said, hey, man, excuse me, you got a couple seconds? He said, yeah, what's up? I said, well, the gym is filthy, man. I said, what's your cleaning process? Or is there something going on that is like this? And he said, filthy? I said, yeah, man. I said, I thought about it before I came over here to tell you, but yeah. And he said, show me. I said, oh, okay. So I went and showed him. I said, here and 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 there and there. He said, oh, well, and he told me what the cleaning process was, and it's one of the busiest gyms in Dallas, and it really is. And so I said, okay. He said, but I'm going to try to do better, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, cool. I just wanted to bring it to your attention, man. So fast forward a couple weeks, I'm in a sauna the other day, man, because the steam room isn't working. And it ain't been working for a couple weeks. And I'm just in the sauna, and I'm like, it's dirty in here. Like, there was some paper on the floor, and it just looked like they hadn't put a mop in there in a couple days or weeks. And you know how any of us who worked in fast food, nobody wanted the job, but you had to go check the bathroom every hour, sign your little initials on the paper that you cleaned it up, so it would always be clean. And so I was just like, you know what? I am not enjoying this gym experience. And I like going to the gym. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Let me say something.
Yes, sir.
That place opened 4 years ago, right?
Yes.
All right, it's two things I think off right off the bat. When you open a place, you don't care about man hours. So right. you overstaffed the place. Right. Okay, that's one reason why maybe it was so clean. The second reason I can think of is that it was COVID. And when in COVID, all the cleaning protocols was off the charts. They wanted you to know that it was disease-free and you wasn't going to get sick in our gym, and they was cleaning the hell out of that place. Well, a lot of people had backslid because COVID, you know, COVID is not more, you know, it's not as much of a threat, or we are dealing with it better now. But back then, it was like, our gyms are clean. You could literally see people, like, I was shopping for a dryer during COVID.
Right.
Man, there was people walking around with spray bottles cleaning off stuff after you touched it. You know what I mean? I was like, right. That's a job right there. And I was like, right. Man, I hope they don't get sick, because everybody was a germaphobe back then. So I think it was probably clean as hell back then because they was doing that. And plus, if they brand new, they overstaff and they got tons of people working there. Just look around. Well, I know you're going to get to, but if you looked around now, it's probably not as staffed. You probably see fewer people walking around than you did during then. But that's just the point I want to make.
No, I don't dispute any of that. My only comment to that would be, you know, gyms is what I do. And so the normal dirt that you see in the gym, you know, that's just normal. Don't even bother me. Don't even register. This was above and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was so I told my boy, you know, my house always looks lived in. I was never a guy, my house had to look like it, you know, like I was about to sell it. It always looked lived in. And, you know, if I got to clean it up, if I had to clean up my spot right now, 5 minutes would be nice and 10 minutes would be spick and span. But it looks lived in. You know, some pillows out of place and on the couch and all of that. This thing looked like it's been abandoned. And so my whole point was, I just decided that what I spend my extra money on and what I do for myself on a monthly basis to enjoy life is work out and spend money at spend money on gym and stuff like that. And I was like, I know, this is the first time I've ever been to a gym for an extended period of time. And I said, I no longer enjoy this gym experience. Like, I don't like coming here. And so I decided, let me check out one of these Rolls Royce gyms and see what it's really all about. It's not too far from here. So I checked out the Rolls Royce gym, man. And I was like, oh, okay, I see the difference. And I was contemplating whether I was going to spend a lot more money to join the Rolls Royce gym. And the person showing me around said, hey, here's the men's locker rooms. The steam room is in here. Check it out. And I walked in there, dog, and I said, okay, this is cool. This is nice. And I saw the steam room. And you know what it said on the steam room door, my brother? It said, closed daily from 2 to 2:30 for cleaning. And right then, I was like, you know what? I'm finna join this Rolls Royce gym and see what it's all about. And it was a little more than I wanted to spend. Okay, it's a lot more than I wanted to spend on the gym. But I decided that I work hard. And, you know, I just deserve it because it's what I like to do. And that made me think, what is it that other people spend their money on for just their own pure enjoyment, whatever their hobby is? You know, I was talking to our content contributor, David. He was like, man, I wish I could tell you how much money I spend on fishing lures and fishing on a month. But, you know, somebody might hear it, so I ain't going to tell you. What do you spend your money on? I thought it might be guns, but I think you just like to look at guns and bitch about the prices.
That's what you think? All right, then. Think that all you want to. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. No, I don't. No, as a married man and somebody who's terrible with money, I'm not going to speak on that right there. You understand? Because there are certain things that maybe my wife don't know the cost of when she see a new one. You understand? You understand where I'm going?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
There you go. Because is that a new gun? Do it look like the other one? Yeah, it's probably not new then.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, there you go. Sometimes I disable the cameras in my house so I can find some stuff in here. You know.
Well, no, that leads to an exit ramp conversation, and then we'll get out of here. You know, one of the things married people fight about most outside of sex is money.
I don't. One of the reasons I'm married for 32 years, I don't have to fight about that. But all right.
That's why you've been married 32 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always, I like to, and different is, yeah, I like to hear how other couples handle money because it's just very interesting to me. But I found for me, it was always better. And this was reinforced later. It's always better to have our money that we pay bills with and go on vacations with and this, that, and the other thing. And then my money. And I always thought that was cool because when I showed up with a PlayStation and the latest copy of Madden, hockey, baseball, and FIFA, back in the day when I did those things, I didn't want to hear, like, what are you doing now? You don't need all of that, blah, 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 blah. Just like when she might have showed up with a Coach purse that was new and be like, you got 7 Coach purses. What do you need another one for? And so I always thought it was cool or good for people to have their money to do it as they wish, because everybody got standards about what they think you ought to spend money on. And then our money that we make joint decisions about. I find that to alleviate a lot of drama. Now, of course, some of y'all will say, didn't alleviate too much drama. You had 2 marriages.
I ain't say that. I just thought that shit. I didn't say it. My first thought was, how'd that work out for you? I don't know. You know, I'm glad you said that.
I try to be transparent on the show, man.
Hey, man, how'd that work out for you?
Marriages didn't struggle because of finances. They struggled because of other things.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't make the women bad.
I look at it like this. My wife is bad with money, but I'm 10 times worse. May God bless her, because she has paid every bill that we ever had since we've been together.
Right.
I don't know how much a carton of eggs costs. I was always able to focus on working in a lot of the jobs, including the military and driving a truck. Yeah, driving a truck is dangerous. So I didn't separate our money. I wanted her to have, you know, exposed. I wanted her to have that. And what'd you do? Put the TOD on there, time of death on the count. Whatever, if it's a private account. But I never really wanted her to jump through too many hoops to get to my assets in case something happened to me, whether I was in the military or driving a truck. So,
and that, my friends, is the difference between a man who had a dangerous job and a man who, you know, tights for a living.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's all relative, but that was my thing. And then, any money I have that I spend on bullshit, I'm going to get caught with it anyway. It ain't nothing happens over here she don't know about as far as financially anyway. So she understands the guns. She understands stuff like that. When I walked around with that AR, you know, pulling the boat back and letting it go for about 20 minutes when I got it, she goes, "Are you still?" She's downstairs. She hears, "Are you still playing with that?" Yeah, it's just a beautiful sound. I didn't sleep with it. I wanted to, but, you know. It's just one of them things that she, you know, being with me, she understands that. My wife could write a book on PTSD, you know, and what you do to calm somebody down, you know, or you know. It's just different stuff. We get into an exit ramp, but I'm just saying as far as money-wise, I probably spent too much money on downloadable content on video games. Or I'm not really a crazy gun guy where I spend a ton of money on guns, but if I see one I like, I have to think about it. The only reason I bitch about it is because I probably don't need to buy it, but I end up with it anyway. I have friends with 25 or 30 guns. I only have 7, maybe 9, maybe nine.
You know what, man? That's all. And see, the reason these conversations are always interesting to me is, and we probably talked about this before, like some people would think some people would think it's dumb to have a gym membership that's a couple $100 a month. Some people would think it's dumb to buy a gun. I'm not using you. That costs $1,000. Some people would think it's dumb to spend $400 on a bottle of wine. Some people would think it's dumb to spend $300 on fishing lures. But it don't matter, because whoever spent that money, that's what brought them. That's their thing. That's what they do. And so it ain't for you or the other person to understand why they did it. That's what they do. That's their hobby. That's what they enjoy. So leave them fuck alone and let them enjoy life.
I probably spent I probably spent. Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is how much money you gonna spend is how much, you know.
How much you got?
How much you it's got? Relative. Yeah, like
that's why probably, Michael Jordan can bet $50,000 because he got it.
Well, my most expensive asset probably that I spent that I didn't have to was probably on the drone.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's just the shit can go 6 miles away from me. You know, it can 30-mile-an-hour wind, take 4K pictures. And probably go about 30 miles an hour. I don't know. It's just fascinating. This is a fascinating piece of equipment. So, you know, and that's a $1,200 price tag.
What the? Okay, I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you also talked to a dude that probably had, at my peak, had 100 pair of Nikes.
Yeah, there you go. That's shit. How much is that? You know. But I'm saying that's not even the most expensive drone you can get. But needless to say, I stopped at that because I do have a $1,000 gun.
Whoa!
I mean, AR is a $1,000 gun.
Yeah. See, who knew?
There you go.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's people that, it's, trust me, there's guns like that Benelli shotgun that I look at every now and then. That's more. Or, you know, it's different stuff like that. It's like, do I want to be gun rich and money poor? No. And I got friends like that. So, you know, I got boats and guns and stuff, and they go, man, I ain't got no money. Yeah, you do. You got a safe full of guns, and you got that big old ass pontoon boat. What are you going to do? Nah, I can't get rid of that. I ain't like that, you know. I don't get attached to my shit like that.
Nah, here's the final word comes from my good friend Deion Sanders, who says this often, and it's good worth remembering. Don't ever fall in love with something that cannot love you back. He was talking about football in general, but I've always found it to be helpful. You know, because we can all get lost. And then you have to remember, this, whatever this thing is that you love, can it love you back? And if not, there's always a role for it. So that's my man, Deion Sanders. Anyway, this has been a very interesting episode 86 of Butch Johnson and Jock Top. Y'all thought I forgot about that.
No, you call him a man. You call him a man irrelevant, though, dog.
The right word. It's just
no. It ain't the right word, dog. My love for them 80 Cowboys. You can see that.
Sometimes it's like it just stops. You know, you're going too far.
How you gonna say that? You know what? We gonna end this on a high note, dog. No, sir.
I say you're going too far, I mean you're taking it all out of context because you're so sensitive about the 80s Cowboys. That's all I mean. There's nothing wrong with that. You love what you love.
Wow.
You
know? Yeah, okay.
Whether it's a football team or a woman or a gun.
We stepping out the door right now because we about to crank something up. We leaving right now because you know when you say
don't take me to that little room, man.
You ain't never been to the little room, dog.
Oh, okay, good. I feel honored to know that.
I couldn't put that. No matter how much you piss me off, you ain't never been to the little room. Player, no, that's not for you, player.
Okay, good. I appreciate that.
Hell no. No, we been most of the time in your life, and I know you. Most time knowing you, we've been 5x5, regardless of us tit for tat arguing over some bullshit. That's why we still friends. That's why I'm on this show. That's why we doing what we do. And that's about as loving as I'm gonna get for your raggedy ass. How about that?
I just take what I can get.
Yeah, man, because you call me sensitive, I almost cuss you out, though. Anyway, it's all good, though. Truly, though.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate that, man. Mm-hmm. We can never do the show without Greeny Law. We appreciate them so much. And you know, the thing about Greeny Law is, what? They want you focused on two things, healing and renewal. Get your mind right. Get your life right. And you'll live a long time. But the main thing about Greeny Law is, hey, when you get him a call, 972-934-8900, if you're ever involved in an accident, it's not your fault, make sure you pick up the phone and get him a call. And I'm telling you, they bring you on as a client. It's been a fantastic day for you. For real. And here's why. They do everything for you. They walk you through the process. You need a doctor, they find you a doctor. You need a specialist, they find you a specialist. All you got to do is show up. These things can be long and tedious, frustrating. They can be combative. They can be scary. They can be intimidating. It can be all those things. And Greening Law, with Robert Greening at the head, walks you through the process. So all you have to focus on is rest and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. That's really what they want you focused on. And that's why Greening Law is good at what they do. And that's why if you're ever involved in an accident, or a friend or a loved one's involved in an accident, have them call Greening Law, 972-934-8900, so that they can help you get your mind right and your body right and get your life back. That's what they focused on, healing and renewal over there at Greening Law. You can always follow the show. Take a second right now. Go to the YouTube channel, at The Real Jacques Talk. Like, subscribe, leave us a comment. We'd appreciate that. We got some big things popping in May. We'll tell you about them soon. We think you're going to love them, not just like them. You can follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. And you can find me on Twitter. I guess they call it X now. At JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle. You can also find me on Clapper. Yeah, that's this new thing. Similar to TikTok. We finna get into that. Follow me over there. I'm going to have some real exciting Cowboys news for you over there. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle at Clapper. So until we chat again, for Big Joe the Big Rig and Butch Johnson, you guys be blessed.